Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 117. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Just hanging out.
I like it when Nate goes first.
Yeah, you left me enough room there.
I just
jumped in there.
Well, I looked at Sean, I'm like, okay, his mic's...
I looked at Sean, and he was just like eyes glazed over.
Yeah. What's happening over here?
I'm like, hello?
I thought it'd be polite tonight. Brain fart.
Wow. We've done this how many times every week for two years and two months? And
you think I'd have something prepared?
Wasn't sure what to do, huh?
No, with my hands. Yeah. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I've fully traded places with Nate is what I've done. Mm-hmm. Except for I don't do all the knobs and stuff.
And all the knobs and switches.
Oh, so I still have to do my job?
You still have to do your job. And keep me afloat.
Let me ask again. You guys are doing all right?
Uh-huh.
Doing good.
Good.
I'd say yes.
Good. Good week so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can say that, I guess. Yeah.
Nate's been a little under the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memorial was ruined. I had stomach bug.
Mine was a perfect Memorial Day. I didn't want to brag. But I don't.
Nothing like taking time off work and having a nice, fun weekend planned. And yeah, you just spend it in bed.
Yeah, I understand.
In a different state. Yeah.
So it wasn't that great, is what you're saying. You've had better.
I may do, but...
Yeah. You've had better. I understand. Yeah, that happens.
I mean, luckily, the only thing I had was nausea. I mean, I didn't have any other ailments.
But that was enough.
That was enough. I didn't want to do anything.
Yeah. You did not make it to the boat. Is that what you're...
So it's like, well, do you think you can, I don't know, just hang out in the boat? And I was like, I don't want to get in the boat and then...
No.
Ralph.
Yeah.
Or something worse than that.
More than what I'm already queasy at.
Yeah.
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 Not a good idea. I'm just going to stay here.
Smart move, Nate. Smart move, it sounds like. Yeah. Well, I hate to hear that. That's a bummer. I remember 10 years ago, my wife and daughter were both sick on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. That wasn't good. Bad timing. So, yeah. Sean, what about you?
Well, you were talking about being sick on Christmas. Ella seems like last several Christmases she's been sick, but I think it might be the chocolate that she eats immediately when you get candy and all that stuff. She just starts shoving it in her mouth, and she's like, "I don't feel good. I don't want any breakfast." Yeah, well, no, because you just like scarfed
400 pounds of
Santa
chocolate.
Claus. Yeah, mm-hmm. Chocolate Santa Claus.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But yes, to answer your question, I'm doing okay. Yeah, good. I'm having a good week. I worked on Sunday and then I had Monday off and we did some pool time and hung out with some friends and family. And so it was a nice relaxing Memorial Day. And so I've had a good week at work and I've been trying to hang in there still. So I'm doing all right. Today, my boss did tell me that I was killing it instead of being killed.
You're not supposed to be killing the patients.
I didn't. Well, no.
He didn't say kill it. He just said you're killing
it. Just the fact that I was doing a good job of staying up, and I thought, I told him, I said, I'm trying. So,
I mean, there's a difference.
Which is better than being killed, right?
Right.
So.
Well, good. That's good. Yeah.
Good news, right?
Yeah. I mean, not to keep bragging, but man, the weather's perfect. Had a wonderful 3-day weekend because the church is closed on Monday. My wife and my mother-in-law power washed our deck and then helped my wife Sunday or Monday. We power washed our balcony off of the upstairs bedroom. Man, got the yards mowed and just, did all kinds of stuff. I even cleared out some gutters, found two wiffle balls blocking Amy was like, the water's just sitting there. I'm like, okay.
And it's got to be something.
Well, I found one tennis ball and two wiffle balls and then just a bunch of sludge and yeah. So I'm going to get back up there. But we were productive, but we had good downtime. And her mom fixed, had food for us on Monday. So
next time, just tell them that your gutters are haunted.
Yeah, like, right.
Oh, they got to be haunted.
Yeah. No, it was. It was good. Yeah. And I'm having a decent week. I need sleep. I need sleep bad. Mm-hmm. But can't complain. Mm-hmm. Everything,
And we're here. podcast studio. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're here.
You can feel the glow.
Feel the glow.
I got so much sleep. I was sick of sleep. And then my sleep schedule is all messed up.
Then it throws. I know. Oh, yeah. I understand. That will do it. Well, good. We hope the Creepies had a good, safe, and fun Memorial Day weekend. And if you're out of the country, well, hope you had a good weekend. Anyway, what time is? Oh, looky here. It's Nate. Do you want me to?
Oh, is it the wrap?
It's
not yet.
No, it's the dad joke of the show.
Oh, okay.
You know what my favorite time is of the day?
Dad joke time?
Other than that, well, it'll coincide. Yes, you're right, Nate. It's 6:30, hands down. Hands down, it's 6:30.
Hands down.
Hands way down, right?
Hands down. 6:30 is my favorite time of the day. Yeah. Yeah. That's your dad joke of the day.
That's it. I knew
the
it
show,
was...
whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
Very spry with that, aren't you? Like, sly, not spry. No.
Spry, sly. I don't know when I've been spry since I was spry
for,
when I was
for me too.
18. Maybe, yeah.
Somebody say fries.
Mm. You're hearing what you want to hear. You did have a nice dinner over there, by the way.
Oh, man. Creepies, if you could have seen what Nate had.
That's the most I've eaten in
the mother of all
4 or 5 days.
I'm like, yeah, you made up for it.
Yeah.
The slab of chicken was like a buffalo sitting there.
I told you.
Baked potato with cheese.
Got Hulk breasts. Yeah. I had to split them in half to make them cook.
My gosh, they were huge. And what else you had? You had the broccoli with cheese. I thought, and then what? You had a baked potato?
Baked potato.
Ooh, and that thing was huge.
Yeah.
Texas size.
Yeah, sour cream, butter, bacon.
I like sour cream on certain things, but I can't put it on my potato. Just give me. I can actually butter. Butter's it. That's all I like.
That's how Rachel eats them.
Yeah,
she's happy with just butter.
Here's the question, and I'm going to ask the Creepies too. Won't hear their answer, but do you like the skin on a potato?
It depends. Sometimes I'll eat it. Sometimes I won't.
Sean,
I'm a yes.
I did not tonight.
Oh, I love it.
Me too. I think that's actually. The best part. It's I love the skin. Now, I didn't
I like
kid.
Both.
I used to just scrape
like
it out
skin.
And love it. My kids think they're like, that is so gross. I'm like, just wait.
Nope.
But maybe not.
No, if I didn't, the boys put them in the oven. So if I prepped them or Rachel prepped some, we usually like, you know, slather them some butter and some salt. And then I'll eat the skin then.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just no other flavor on the outside skin. I normally just eat the inside.
Yeah.
So it depends. 50-50.
You know what? I might do that as the next Mako poll on Facebook.
I was wondering.
Do you eat the potato skin?
We've talked about some weird odd things, especially in our pre-conversation.
No, we never do.
That might have been the weirdest.
Puts the lotion on its skin.
Like, these guys are getting creepy.
It is creepy.
Oh, it's...
yeah, that's... Woo! Ow. Coming off the dad joke of the show, which was hands down a great one.
Best ever.
Hands down.
Sean.
Hands way down.
Way down. Tell the Creepies our first announcements.
Absolutely.
Please.
Well, we always enjoy getting together and communing with the paranormal.
Always enjoy.
Right? Guy time. Time for us to share with the Creepies the fun stuff. But... we want to always make sure that we bring this back to the mental health and building a community for the awareness of mental health, right? And the need for getting help. So you guys can always call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text 741-741. If you think you need a professional counselor, please don't be afraid to do so. Visit stopbullying.gov also to help with help you or someone you know who may be experiencing some sort of bullying. Said that very clearly, right?
You do. Yeah.
Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for any other added support. That is what our Mako family is all about, and we have people using it all the time, even us.
Yes, sir.
If anybody cares, they can call me. I can set them straight. Suck it up, Buttercup.
1-800.
Life's hard.
1-800 Nate cares.
Life is hard, Nate.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Wow. I don't know if we need a shirt for that, right?
Yeah, never mind. thanks, Nate, for your offer.
It's out there.
I won't be calling Nate for
don't call Nate.
Empathy.
Let me make a note of that. yes, we and you know, The month of May was Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. As we're recording it, it's the 31st, so by the time this drops, it'll be the 7th. Mm-hmm. But please
it's every
don't,
month.
Don't, it's every day. Don't make it just about a month. Only in May, every day, we should be taking care of ourselves and each other and doing what we can to be healthy, right?
And these are just jokes. Don't attack me for
not being empathetic.
Yeah.
I already put your number on the Facebook. Should I have not done that? To be, that's fine. And Nate says, suck it up, Buttercup.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
No. Nate is, know. They know.
Nate's one
get professional help. I am not a professional.
Nate's one of the biggest softies on here.
And if you don't have professional help, you're going to get it after you talk to Nate.
No,
it's probably fair.
I'm a good listener, and I try to give helpful information.
And sometimes
to the best of my ability, but I am not qualified.
It's good that you put that out there.
Unqualified. Actually, just listening to somebody that's without having to get an answer or reply, just having somebody to sit there and just listen to you vent helps a lot. You know,
that's right.
And then ask them
give a different perspective on what they're venting on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it clears the air.
Yeah. Well, and if you're the one listening, ask the person. Like, how do you want me to respond? Do you want me to just to sit and listen? Because I can do that. Or, but don't try to fix it. Like, because, you know, a lot of people want to try to, which they're great intentions, but just ask them because maybe they don't want to
give suggestions, but don't expect
if they want
it.
But if they want it, not everybody wants it. They just want the ears. They don't want the suggestion yet, or they don't want the idea. Oh, you're this and that. No, just, you know, just listen to them.
Just
and then
a good
ask
conversation.
Them, do you want me to give you my opinion? Or do you want me to give you what I think? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they say yes, then do. But so take care of yourselves, creepies. Let's see. That was a good job, Sean.
Thanks. Really.
I noticed that you
I
say
bring it sometimes.
Sometimes you. No, I noticed on the first bullying, you say bullying still.
Dang.
But the second one, you really make sure you say bullying.
I cleaned it up, didn't I?
Yeah, you do that. Yeah, that's.
I'm kind of like a controlled dumpster fire.
I was going to bully you about that, but not. anyway, quick. Well, first of all, shout outs. Anybody have a shout? Nate, John?
I do not have one.
Mm-hmm. No?
Kayla, from that I used to work with, she did buy our first ticket, right, for our live show. So I do want a shout out to Kayla.
I got
absolutely. I gave a shout out on our Facebook group. Mm-hmm. I forgot to add that. Yeah. She was our first official ticket purchaser. That was so exciting. I checked our email and I'm like, I couldn't wait. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to tell the guys.
Now she's got to come.
And I told Amy, you know, and I said, hey, you know, sold a ticket. She's like, oh, that's awesome. And then I told Elijah and he's like, oh, yeah.
Cool.
Told Olivia. Yeah. For what? I go, the live show you're going to be
zero. Yeah, right. Zero excitement.
Zero excitement. Mm-hmm. That's right. Though. That's what you get from a 12 and 15 year old. So yes, thank Kayla. Thank you, Kayla. That's what I'm trying to say. No other shout outs though?
Yeah, I have a shout out. What? To my stomach. It's not nauseated anymore.
Shout out to Nate's stomach.
I'm happy about that.
That I get it. No, that's a good shout out.
Thank you, buddy.
We should shout out to our body parts, right?
I was able to have a proper meal tonight.
And you did that.
I did.
That was awesome. Quite impressive. Okay, I don't have any shout outs.
I didn't know we could shout out our bodily functions and organs, so I'm going to remember that for next time.
I'm going to give a pre-shout out. I think if I can get some good sleep tonight, I'm going to shout out to my brain for finally shutting down. It's like, oh my gosh, please. Mm-hmm. I don't want to shut down. I want to shut just to pause.
Is it bullying?
Just turn off for a minute.
Bullying you.
Yeah. Huh?
It's bullying you.
It's bullying me. Mm-hmm. quick special announcement. Just want to remind you, creepies, our Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show. Will be on Saturday, October 7th from 5 to 9. It will be at the Ellis Park train station in Danville, Indiana. Tickets can be purchased for only $15 at the Eventbrite website or app. We're going to have fiction author and owner of Anatolian Press, Mr. Micah Campbell, along with paranormal investigator Aaron Egnatz of Hauntings Across America. They will be our special guests. We've had them on our show a couple of times each. We will have some good food, good music, and some awesome Mako merch for sale. I know Aaron and Mike will probably bring some merch too and books that they put out. And then, so come out for a night of creeped out fun. That's coming up, by the way.
Oh my gosh. It'll be here before we know it.
June 7th will be 4 months. And when we started it, we had 15 months. That shows you how quick it went. So
you said it would go quick. You weren't wrong.
Hey, do I lie?
I almost thought you were lying, but...
Nagel, he's lying. He's it's not going to go quick.
Don't listen to him.
I told you. I told 11 months, just like that. Anyway, that's all I've got. So I'm going to turn over to you, Sean. Tell our creepies what this episode's all about.
We just had an amazing guest chat with host Eric Freeman of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. Enjoy, creepies.
Hey, creepies. We have a special guest on this episode for you. He is the host of an awesome podcast called the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. He comes to us from Tennessee. Mr. Eric Freeman, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How are y'all doing?
We're great. We're great. I'll let Sean and Nate say hi to you.
Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, Nate, what do you got in here?
Little chicken.
Hey, Eric, thanks for coming on, taking time out of your busy schedule. I know it seems like everybody's busy these days, so we appreciate you making time for us.
No, thanks for having me. I love guesting and talking about experiences and just having a good conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do too. We do too. So let's get right into it, shall we? Tell us about, so our listeners kind of get an idea, tell us about your podcast, what it's about and all that good stuff, and then how you got into the paranormal.
Yeah, the Unseen Paranormal Podcast, I started about 3 years ago. And I just, for the simple fact that I wanted to talk to a bunch of people in the paranormal that probably otherwise I wouldn't be able to get in touch with. So some of the paranormal celebrities I've had on, and I talk to a different guest every week. And we just have natural conversations, but usually we have a topic like they've written a book or they've been on TV, like I said, with paranormal celebrities and things like that. But yeah, it's opened me up to talk to all these icons that I've kind of looked up to in the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And kind of become, in a way, I guess, equals with them, which is kind of neat. If you would have told me 3 years ago, you know, what I'd be doing now, I wouldn't have believed you. But yeah, the show's doing really well. And like I said, started 3 years ago, I've got over 100 episodes, and we're on season 3 now, and going to keep rolling with it. But as far as getting into the paranormal, I have done the paranormal my entire life, pretty much. I started investigating when I was a teenager, but I've had experiences pretty much my whole life. And my father passed away when I was 14. Hmm. So that kind of pushed it into overdrive for me to actually start investigating and trying to figure out for my own benefit of, you know, what happens when we die and where we go and if we stick around or what, you know, all these questions that we all have. And so me and my friends actually used to start sneaking into places, and I found some other weirdos to go with me to investigate because back then none of the TV shows were on, nothing like that. I didn't even know there was such thing as a ghost hunter. I didn't know that's what people did. I thought we were just, you know, sneaking in somewhere trying to experience something. I didn't think it was actually something people did.
You were cutting edge.
And the only thing I'd really seen was like, you know, Unsolved Mysteries would do some paranormal episodes. And then you have things, of course, like with Leonard Nimoy doing the show that he did and things like that. But you really didn't have a lot of paranormal stuff. Occasionally History Channel and Discovery and stuff would do some paranormal things. But kind of just make it up as we go. And we had quite a bit of experiences, the old plantation, Civil War plantation that we used to sneak into. And I don't condone trespassing. I'm glad the statute of limitations is over on that.
Right.
So yeah, I've been investigating for close to 25 years now.
Wow. Wow. So you're from Tennessee. Have you always been in Tennessee, or have you lived in any other areas, any other states or anything?
I was born and raised in Tennessee, right outside of Nashville.
Okay.
So, I'm a Tennessee native.
Okay. So yeah, tell us like what are some of the places around your location? What's some hot spots for paranormal activity?
We have a lot of Civil War history. The town of Franklin, Tennessee, which is not very far from me, about 20 minutes, was called the Five Bloodiest Hours of the Civil War. And in 5 hours, about 2,600 soldiers died. So the entire town is kind of haunted. There's been quite a few books written about just all the different haunts around Franklin. As far as Nashville goes, I mean, you have everything from like the famous Ryman. There's ghost stories of Hank Williams Sr. there, and a lot of other artists. Captain Ryman himself, who built the Mother Church of Country, he doesn't like rock music there, and there's stories about him knocking pictures off the walls and things like that when they have rock concerts at the Ryman.
Oh, God.
Because it was built as a church, and so you know, bluegrass and country kind of come a little bit from gospel, but yeah, whenever you play rock music in there, he likes to move things around and show that he's not happy. Yeah, and Nashville's just there's a huge history here, and it's always been a huge hub for people, whether it be the railroad and now with interstates and things like that. And so there's a long history of Native American stuff around here. Of course, not far from me is Adams, Tennessee, which is the famous Bell Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Cave is out there. And I think most people are familiar with the Bell Witch nowadays. It's been such folklore for so many years. Some famous places like that. Franklin, Tennessee, there's a huge plantation. The one that we used to sneak into is in Franklin, Tennessee, called Carton Plantation. And unfortunately, they don't allow investigations of any kind, but there are so many stories from that place that a lot of people have called it the most haunted place in Tennessee. And so just everything from full-body apparitions. I had a ghost horse run through me one time.
Oh, wow.
When we were there.
That's cool.
Yeah, we were walking back across the field to leave, and they hadn't mowed the field in probably a few days. So it was about probably knee-deep. And two of my friends were about 10 feet behind me, and we heard a horse galloping. And they're like, you hear that? Sounds like a horse. And yeah, I hear it. And all of a sudden, this like breeze goes through me, like the static electric feeling. And then to my right, you can see the grass move in a straight line away from me.
Oh.
And my two friends behind me come running up, and they're like, did a ghost horse just run through you? And I'm like, I think so.
That's crazy.
But weird things like that out there. You can hear gunshots at night and cannon fire. And I mean, this place is in the middle of a modern town, so there's no reason to be hearing gunshots and things. And Franklin is kind of where all the country stars and people live. So it's kind of, you know, rich people and things like that. So you're not, it's not like it's the ghetto in Nashville where you could hear gunshots because of gangs and things, you know?
Right. Right. That is crazy. So you just heard the sounds of the horse. You didn't actually see any type of apparition, right? But then you just felt it coming through you, and then you saw the grass move, correct? Like you didn't see, yeah, like, my gosh, check this thing.
Yeah, other than seeing the grass move, we didn't see anything. I don't think my two friends saw anything either.
That is
as far as seeing a horse or somebody on a horse or anything.
Yeah, right. That is insane. That's one of the craziest stories. Man, that is, and what it feel, just like a breeze, or did it feel, you know?
You said static electricity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's, it didn't obviously hurt or anything. I mean.
Yeah, it was kind of like a cold breeze and static at the same time.
Wow.
It's kind of a weird. It was a weird feeling. It's hard to describe. Like all the hairs stand up on your body all at once as you get this like just cold blast of air. And it only lasted, you know, for a split second.
Wow.
Hmm.
Man. Is that like, so, you know, doing your investigations and doing all the ghost hunting since you were young, have you had a lot of experiences do you have personal stories? Like, you know, we've gone on a few, you know, investigations. We're still new to all this, but Nate is our guy. He's always having better luck than Sean and I, but we've had, you know, we've heard some things and are you a magnet for that type of stuff, or is it hard to come by when you usually go to places?
I tend to be a magnet. I have things that happen in my house as well. I have a resident spirit who I'm pretty sure followed me home from that plantation when I was a teenager. And he's been around for a long time, and I've just had paranormal things happen my entire life. So investigating, I would say I'm definitely a magnet. There are people who are like the opposite. They're like, they push the paranormal away, and if you investigate with them, nothing ever happens. And which is weird. I don't know why that is, but yeah, I've always had stuff happen throughout my entire life. And going out and seeking it out, I think also once you start to look into the paranormal, I think it starts to look more into you as well. So I think you'll have more things happen in your life the deeper you kind of get into investigating things like that.
We've heard that before, exactly what you just said, where you start looking at the paranormal, it looks back at you. So be careful,
yeah.
and beware, but also, and be respectful. I'm curious. I know you talked about your father passing, which I know that's very personal. Have you found any experiences with him over the years? Did you find anything when you were younger or?
After he passed away, my mother saw him walk by one of our windows. Hmm. And she took that as his way of saying that he was okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Other than that, after he passed, in our garage, we had an attached garage to the house. We would hear tools kind of moving around. And my mom would go out and make sure the doors were locked, but nobody was in our garage. But we also had a 130-pound Rottweiler who slept in the garage. So sure nobody broke in. But we would hear tools and things rattle like that. I think he kind of moved on and didn't really stick around. Mm-hmm. My mom has since passed away in 2009, and she pops in every once in a while. The biggest way that I know she's around is she wore a very distinct perfume called Jovan Musk, and I don't even know if you can buy it anymore. But it's kind of like an older lady perfume. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like candy or, you know, one of those that people wear, younger people wear all the time. But I will smell it in my house just for about 10 or 15 seconds every once in a while, and then it's gone. So I think that's her way of kind of popping in and saying, hey.
That's very distinct, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are cool stories. Yeah, yeah. Just real quick, going back to, you said that you think that the guy followed you from the plantation. What's gone on? What's happened that you think that you were followed and that he latched onto you?
So I was about, I think I was 17 or 18, and I had an SUV. And so all of my friends would ride with me, and we'd sneak out there, you know, 2-3 in the morning. And one night I had to take all my friends home across town. In the little town that we live in, and I was coming back home, and I kept getting that feeling like somebody was sitting in the back seat, and just that, you know, unconscious thing to keep looking in the rearview mirror like somebody's behind me. And this was probably 4 or 5 in the morning because we had gone up to the plantation for a couple hours. And when I came in my house, it was just me and my mom at the time. And, you know, I didn't turn any lights on or anything because I lived here, you know, my whole life. So I knew where the furniture and things were. So I walked down the hallway to my bedroom. And it was just me and my mom, and I think we had one small dog at the time. And I go to my bedroom, and I heard boots walk down the hallway and stop in front of my door, and I could see the outline under the door. And they turned around and walked back down the hallway. And after that, I've had things happen over the years. I've seen him quite a few times. I've seen him full on. He's a red-headed guy, and he has, like, a short red beard. He has either gray or blue, like, pants on with suspenders and a white shirt. And he kind of looks like you know, part of a uniform from the Civil War era.
That's creepy.
Wow.
Creepy and cool.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And he doesn't. And he's just, interact, or is he just walking around? You know, does he seem like he sees you guys and, you know, or tries to interact with you? I guess he sees you, but you know what I'm saying? Like, does he try to get your attention? Does he take your keys or do any like mischief or anything like that? Or just walking around?
Here now, because he's been around here for a long time, when he first showed up, I used to wake up about 3 or 4 in the morning with my bed shaking. And those old motel beds you could put a quarter in, supposed to be massaging, but it just shakes.
Oh, yeah.
I may have heard of that.
I would wake up to that, feeling of the whole bed shaking. And wow. I finally got tired of it. And we kind of had to come to Jesus meeting. I was like, look, you can either leave me alone and we can cohabitate, or I can find a way to get rid of you. And I set up a couple other ground rules. The other ground rules were, don't pop up behind me in mirrors and we'll be okay.
Oh, right.
Cause you're just not expecting it when you're looking in the mirror in the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
And so occasionally he'll move things. I'll hear doors open and close. I've actually watched him open and close the door right in front of me, in my hallway. Generally he's pretty quiet most of the time. He's still around, but yeah, generally nowadays he's kind of quiet. So I guess he's happy just being here. I don't know.
Does he pay his rent on time?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Tell him to chip in on the chores.
Do the dishes.
If you can open and shut a door, you can pick up a broom.
Darn right. That's right. Earn your keep. Okay. Let me ask you, this is really intriguing to me. So when you figured out, oh my gosh, I think I got followed home and, you know, by somebody from the plantation. How did you approach your mom? Like, hey, mom, I think we have a ghost. I think we have somebody here that's not from this world. Like, how did you tell her? Or did she say, oh, my gosh, yeah, I thought something was going on? Like, how did that, all that happen?
Well, my family's always been really open to the paranormal. They used to live in a house before I was born that had a resident spirit that was a older lady who used to tuck my aunts and uncles in the bed. And so it's always been an open thing in my family to talk about the paranormal. And me and my mom had, because bringing the spirit home with me, you know, happened after the stuff with my dad. It was quite a few years, 4 or 5 years after my dad had passed. So we just talked about the paranormal all the time. And so it wasn't anything. And me and my mom had this insane like connection anyway, which would border like on telepathy. You know, she would just know things before I could tell her and things like that. And so yeah, we just had a very open conversation about paranormal, and it was talked about a lot in my family. I'm pretty sure one of my aunts was like a green witch. You know, if she, it could be a blue sky, and if she told you it was going to rain, you better go roll your windows up because it was going to rain. Oh, wow. And just things like that throughout my family.
So, okay, so that's good because a lot of people, you know, we've talked to, they're like, oh, yeah, my parents or my family are not into that. So that's good that you already had that interest from your mom, and it's something you guys already chatted about because then it's not going to freak her out as much, you know, or it if, yeah. if at all. That's good. I was just curious about that because, like, how would you bring that to your mom's attention? But sound like it went well. She's like, oh, yeah, I knew about it. That's funny. Gosh, that's crazy. Any other, like, personal stories that you have as far as things that, that you, you know, had happen, whether it's on an investigation or anywhere else?
Where do I start? There's so much.
Oh, just lay it out.
There's so much. One of the craziest things, when my mom passed away, she came to me in a dream, and it was a very lucid dream. Like, I knew I was dreaming, and basically told me that she was okay. And then I've had two aunts pass, and my mom, the same dream, same location, but it was my mom, and then whichever my aunt had passed at the time came and talked to me as well. And I think that's just a way of letting me know they're okay. And so that, of course, helped with the grieving process and all that stuff. So that's some, yeah, that's just interesting. I was just talking about that with a guest on my show, so that was why it's kind of at the forefront of my mind, talking about, you know, what happens when we die with the afterlife and things like that. But yeah, I've had loved ones come back and kind of visit in those ways. And as far as investigating, I had an interesting experience not too long ago. We were investigating Old Stone Jail in Franklin, Kentucky. And there, upstairs there, there's a really nasty spirit who likes to grab women inappropriately.
Uh-oh.
And they believe that he was a, they found records of him. We'll just say he's a nasty, nasty person in life. And they think his name's Terry. And we have investigated there a few times. Well, I was up there with four other people, and we had a geoport. And the geoport is just a spirit box, and it's hooked to two guitar pedals. One of them takes out the noise. Y'all know what a spirit box is?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it cycles through the radio stations, and usually you can hear the white noise of it cycling through the radio stations. Well, the geoport, it, you hook it through guitar pedals so that it takes out that white noise, so all you get is the voices, and it also hooks to a reverb pedal, so it prolongs the voice so you can tell what they're saying. So we were upstairs in this jail, and we were standing right outside this nasty spirit cell, and I felt what I can only describe as something like grabbed my spine from the inside, and I couldn't take a deep breath, and I was like, what is going on? And so I told the other four people I was with, I need to step outside, because if something's affecting you, if you remove yourself from the situation, usually it'll kind of go away. And so I went outside. Well, apparently as soon as I walked outside, my cousin was one of the people that was there with me. And he said, why are you messing with my cousin? And they all heard a voice come across the geoport that said he started it first.
So, wow. Nice.
Huh.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience. And we don't provoke or anything. I think that he doesn't like me because I've been there before. Mm-hmm. And we weren't, you know, taking, we're not provoking, but also not going to put up with, you know, him grabbing women appropriately and things like that.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
That we've heard, guys, haven't we? We've heard some stories because we've had, you know, we've had people on our show, just paranormal investigators. They're not podcasters, and they've talked about, you know, some naughty spirits
touch,
that
scratch,
touch,
bend,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That is, yeah, you know, and it's funny you said that, you know, yeah, you don't provoke, you're not out to do that sort of thing, but yeah, but letting the spirit know, hey, you're not going to tolerate that type of behavior, you know, and you're not going to be pushed around.
Set some boundaries.
Boundaries, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We have a friend of ours, and she always calls it mothering, and like she has to mother them, like, hey, none of that. No, be nice. They'll say some cuss words on some of those ghost box, you know, or like, you know, she's always very wary of like the demonic forces. That's what scares her. But she's like, you've got to know that they're out there, and sometimes they're the strongest ones. They come through,
right?
And so, like you said, you either get the heck out of Dodge or to take a break from it, because. Yeah, the darkness can be intense.
Well, they dominate, you know, like they've been told where you know, there could be so many spirits around, and then those are the types that push the other ones, you know, around, and then they're the ones that come through are the ones that are, yeah, whether demonic or, yeah, just jerks, jerk spirits.
Yeah. Kind of my motto is, if you're nasty in life, you're probably going to be nasty in death. Yeah, why exactly would death change that? If you're going to stick around, mm-hmm, you know, you're probably going to be nasty in death. Because also, you got to think, for a spirit like that, who was a really nasty person, did some nasty things, to be in a jail, he's free from those constraints now of being, you know what I'm saying, threatened to go to jail or threatening, mm-hmm, you know, with a death penalty or something like that. Mm-hmm. He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
There's not necessarily any repercussion.
True. Yep. That's true.
Got his freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting that, like you said, that you've been there before and he recognizes you and he knows you. We've heard that. I listened to 1,000 podcasts, and I've heard that so many times where people will go back to a location over and over, and they get remembered. They know when they come back. And our good friend Erin, yeah, who Sean was talking about, she said that at Waverly, there's a, you know, this whatever it is, they know when she comes back, good or bad, you know. They'll remember, you know, who's coming back to their place. Yeah.
We had a friend, George Shoplin, out of the West Coast. He talked about going to a place that, where they're playing cards with a ghost.
Yeah, he lives in California, but he goes to the Las Vegas prison. Go ahead.
And they were playing cards, and he used his wedding ring, I think, is in the ante. And then when they were all done, the ghost ended up winning. And so the ghost was like, hey, that's mine. And then he said he was pushed down the stairs, and mm-hmm, it was like he knew that that ghost was not happy that he had reneged on that card game, you know. And so he was like, he knows better than to go back.
Yeah, George goes there a lot, or at least he did.
I'm not playing cards anymore.
Yeah, you're exactly. He's like, you know, he has had interactions, and it's like the whoever he lost to remembers him and still ticked off. But I think that's interesting, they remember. You know, and hopefully it's not a bad interaction, but sometimes it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, that points to, you know, intelligent haunting. Because mm-hmm, you have the two different types of haunting. You have the residual, which is just kind of like a replay. It's recorded on the atmosphere or whatever. And then you have the intelligent. And that, to me, just it points to, you know, there'd be intelligent spirits. It's not all residual. I would say probably 75 to 80% of what we encounter is probably residual. It's going to happen whether you're there or not. But then, you know, that other 15 to 20% is kind of what we're looking for, because, you know, you want that validation of their being an afterlife, and with having them remember you and call you out by name when you come back, you know, to me, that's direct proof that there's intelligent things, and then we kind of go on.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I don't think... Like I said, we've been to how many places? Four mm-hmm. now?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
We've heard things, and Nate, didn't you get touched, or you thought something brushed against at Bobby Mackey's, or what was that?
Something pinched the back of my leg.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I think, because Sean, I don't think you've had anything as far as like you think, oh, something touched me or
no, yeah, just pressures and stuff like that. And
yeah, I think, so yeah. So other than
a couple
that,
things out of the peripheral,
right.
You know, and I've definitely heard stuff too.
Yeah. I think it'd be so cool to see, but I think it'd be neat to see the residual, like if you go to Gettysburg and seeing, you know, a reenactment
soldiers
of it. Yeah. Soldiers doing their thing, and then they disappear.
But
I think
that reenactors.
Be,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The ghost is still reenactors.
Yeah.
Said that wrong. And then I think the intelligent hauntings, I think it would be really bad if it was malevolent. Yeah. And they have something, you know, like you were saying, the guy at the jail, I think it'd be so cool to have the interaction with a ghost or a spirit, as long as it's, nice. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I would have a preference. I think the interaction would be cool, but then just to see something and yeah, just like you said, it's going to happen whether you're there or not. I think that'd be so cool. I just would love to experience both. I think equally, mm-hmm. You know, some people are like, oh, I don't want to have any interaction with the spirit. I don't want them touching me, attacking me. I don't want to whatever, you know, or they wouldn't like, you know, you have the one at your house. They wouldn't put up with that, you know, good or bad. But then some are like, oh yeah, I love that, you know, and it's because they think the residual is boring, you know. And I think it's kind of equal to me. I think it'd be both crazy to see or experience.
We've seen the object, you know, being manipulated. Like Waverly was a good example.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember people telling us, like, "Oh, you kick a ball, and then the little spirit kid will play with you." And it's like, man, that's probably not going to happen. Well, I'll be darned if it didn't. Like we have it on video.
Yeah, we have it on video.
I was trying. I'm a skeptic at heart, but I know there are things that we can't explain. And I always tried to think, well, how does this happen? But we tried and tried to find wind and something wrong, you know, trickery with the toys and the balls and all that stuff. And it's like, no, this stuff is moving on its own. Even like the other stuff wouldn't move, and one would, and we'd move it and change positions with something else just to see if it would change. And it would still start moving on its own, just in it. So those things I cannot explain. I mean, I know there's enough stuff out there to say, like, there is something going on that I would love to know. Like, I'd love to understand that more. And it keeps you wanting to go out to more places. So.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we went to Indiana State Sanatorium. We've been there twice. And the last time we went, we did our on location where we recorded out there. And then we did another little, you know, self-guided tour investigation. And I was sitting there. I was dragging. I was beat. It was a long day. And I was squatting down just to take a breath. And all of a sudden, what was it? A ball or a balloon or something just shot away from me, like something kicked it or blew it away. And I'm like, but there were
Where did that come from?
But there were papers there, and they didn't even move. And the thing was right there. So if it was a gust of wind, you know what I'm saying, the papers would have reacted to the.
Yeah, it was like it was trying to hit you, and it did.
I was like,
and then it flew up the wall, or not up the wall, but up the hallway.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's just, you know, who knows?
Like, that was weird.
Yeah, I just thought, well, the other thing should have moved, but they didn't. So who knows?
And talking about the kind of bad spirits versus good, from what I've seen over the years, I think it's your intention going into the location to what kind of experience you're going to have. If you go in respectful and you're there just to communicate with them and have an experience, I think you're going to have more of a positive experience. I don't think the malevolent things, because I don't think you're giving them power in a way. And so I don't think they come out as much as if you go in provoking and things like that. But also I think that even nice spirits, if you go in provoking, they're probably going to react badly. So, you know, if you walk in my house, you're yelling and screaming, I'm not going to have a good reaction to you.
Right. You know? Yeah, right, right.
So, so I think it a lot of it comes down to what your intentions are. And I think they kind of know, you know, kind of your intent when you're coming in, you know, just kind of the type of person you are and kind of your attitude and things like that. So, yeah, it comes down. But also, you know, the more you're talking about, you know, raising questions about the paranormal things, I think, every time I think I've answered a question, it opens like Pandora's box to a thousand more questions.
That's right.
I mean, even after all the things I've experienced, I'm still call myself a skeptical believer, because if I can debunk something, then I will.
Right.
And that's my first go-to is debunking. And my investigative partners get kind of frustrated sometimes, because I'm like, I'm not jumping to that it's paranormal. I want to, you know, if I can't disprove it in any way, shape, or form, then okay, then we'll talk about it being paranormal. But, you know, at the same time, if I see a figure right in front of me, which I've seen before, full body apparitions, you know, that's kind of harder to bump.
Yeah,
it is.
I know when we're at Waverly, I think we're on like the third floor, and all of a sudden we started hearing a door slamming on the floor above us. Like, oh, let's get up there. What the heck's going on? And we went up there, and, well, the wind picked up. And it was blowing through there, slamming the doors. I was like, ah, dang it, it's not paranormal.
Yeah. Well, we were freaking out. We're like, oh, my gosh, this
still,
is it. This,
still
is, this is the biggest
thing. Jesus
is. And then Nate's the one figured out. He's like, hold on, I found it. And, yeah, it was the door slamming. I mean, it was, you know, by the wind. I'm like, oh, shoot. But you know why? For that few minutes, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We did think we saw, and we all stay at the end of the night, just before it closed down there, we saw from a distance a shadow person, and all of us, Aaron was with us, our paranormal investigator friend,
her mom,
and the three of us. And I was like, are my eyes getting tired? Am I really seeing what I'm seeing? But we were like, that's a shadow person. And it was kind of peeking around the corner. And Aaron said, we need to start kind of backing away because you don't want it to charge you. And Nate and I are like, what happens if you charge? Well, I kind of like to see it charge. She's like, no, you don't want it to charge you. I'm like, oh, come on. Let's just once.
We're like, oh, mom, come on. Yeah. Her mom
never
was so
did.
Funny. She's like, she was freaking out, bless her soul. And Aaron's like, mom, we've got to go. Like, this is it. There's no other way to get out. We have to go past it, you know? And we all just kind of hurried up and did our thing and got down there, but nothing happened. But it was pretty freaky. I don't know. Have you ever been to Waverly Hills? Have you ever been there?
Yeah. Well, Louisville's only a couple hours from me.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. 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 Have you had any experiences there? Anything that of note?
I have. We saw what they call the creeper or the crawler.
Crawls
around the ceiling and the walls. That's kind of a creepy thing to see. I've seen lots of things, but that was one of the creepiest I've ever seen.
We wanted that for the studio.
A lot of shadow play, like you're talking about, with kind of a head peeking out of a door and things like that.
Yeah.
Phantom footsteps, noises that you can't really explain. Nothing just kind of overtly, other than seeing the crawler crawl around, nothing else just kind of overtly in your face. Really didn't get much EVP or anything when I've been there. I've heard some amazing EVPs from there, and I've seen some awesome pictures, but more just personal experiences than anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm jealous. When we went to Waverly, I was so happy. I mean, everything else would have been great, but like I wanted to see the creeper or experience him. I'm like, but we didn't. We didn't get to see the creeper. He didn't show up that night. And I think we took a tour like an hour or so before we started our investigation, and he's like, oh, yeah, he goes around all over the place. I can't remember what floor he kind of hangs around most, but I'm like, okay, cool. He's not just in one little area and nothing. I was bummed. I was like, daggone it. But
I know Aaron did a little EVP session when I was with her there. Mm. And when she started it, like, we could hear, you couldn't tell what they're saying, but it sounded like a bunch of kids, like on a schoolyard. And then all of a sudden, it just turned off. It drained the batteries within 20 seconds. She's like, this thing was fully charged. And that's all we got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've tried over the years. I've tried a lot of EVPs that sound like a conversation going on that you're just not privy to. It sounds like you can't make out what they're saying, but it sounds like two or more people talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not, you're just not part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And whether that is, whether that's residual or they're actually talking about you.
You don't know. But, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah. But when I go into any location, my kind of investigation motto is I'm going to investigate the stories of a haunting, not a haunting. Because if you go in listening to the stories, you're going to kind of build yourself up to expecting something to happen, but just because you've heard stories doesn't mean that you're going to experience anything. So we go in to investigate stories of a haunting, not a haunting. And until you have your own experiences, you really can't prove to yourself that a place is haunted either.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's a good way to look at it.
That's how Whispers Estate was for us. We did an episode on it. We went there. We didn't get a whole lot of action per se. There's a little bit, but it wasn't like what people claim, at least the night that we're there.
Yeah. And what's funny is, Nate's right. It was just kind of like it was still fun and it was a creepy place, but, and then like, I don't know, a week or two after our good friend Jerry Polly from Hillbilly Horror Stories, he goes there. They went on with an investigative group, and oh my gosh, like just every second stuff was happening right in front of them. And I'm like, so it's just, that's how it goes. You just never know. You might, one night you might not have anything or the next group does, and it's just a hit and miss. Yeah. But he was like saying all this stuff, and he even made a video. It was showing this candle going out or light, something. The light was coming on, like nobody was touching it. It was going on and off. And other stuff was happening. It was just one thing after another. And we're like, we're just there and not a whole lot happened. but that's the thing. You never know.
Yeah. Well, and also a lot of these locations, especially somewhere like Whistler State and like Waverly Hills. I mean, when you watch like a TV show, where ghost hunters or any of those go to these places, they're filming for 4 or 5 nights to get maybe one EVP.
Yeah.
And also you got to think all the stories that you're hearing about these places, these are culminated over years and years of people having experiences. And they'll tell you 20 stories in a row, but those 20 stories may have happened over 10 years.
Sure.
You kind of got to be conscious of that too. Not saying that I haven't been in locations where it's just been crazy from the get go. And just stuff happening, as soon as we walk in the door and, every minute something else is happening. But those places tend to be few and far between from my experience.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, absolutely. You were talking about the equipment. Do you have, when you go on an investigation, what's all the equipment that you do take? Do you just take a few things? Do you like to just you know, you never know what you're going to need, you know, that type of thing, or what's kind of the stuff that you bring with you?
I'm not a big equipment person. I use my cell phone for a lot of things. For one, cell phone has a really sensitive microphone. So when you record EVPs through it, it tends to work really, really well. And it's easier to just, you know, recharge your phone or have like an extra like pocket juice battery or something to recharge your phone as trying to change out batteries in a recorder. Of course, take lots of pictures and we have video. My investigative partner, Lee, he has every piece of equipment you can think of, from the SLS to the geoport to all that stuff. I like to use spirit boxes a lot and do the SS method. Y'all familiar with the SS method?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So you got somebody that puts on the headphones and blindfold and you ask questions. Mm-hmm. We've had lots of good evidence out of that, but I'm a big EVP guy. Cause to me that's, you know, straight hard evidence. That's hard to disprove too. And, I've been lucky with getting a lot of, good photos over the years. The nasty spirit I was talking about, the jail, I think one of the reasons why he didn't like me when I came back is because I think I caught his face in a picture.
Oh.
And I don't think he liked that very much. But we've investigated, and it also depends on what we're doing. We put on a lot of public ghost hunts, you know, where people can buy tickets and come investigate with us. And so we'll break out all the equipment for that, like, you know, K2 meters and REM pods and the SLS camera and those things, thermal camera. Just so they can, people who have never been on a ghost hunt, they want to see all the equipment they've seen on TV, see how it works, actually use it themselves. So we'll break that out for the general public. Mm-hmm. But when we just do an investigation ourselves, we kind of go a little lighter. Like for me, like I said, I use my cell phone for a lot. I actually have a FLIR camera that goes on my cell phone, for infrared. I've had good luck with that as well, but I'm kind of the more hard evidence, type person to where I want, you know, video, pictures, audio, things like that. I don't get excited when REM pods and K2s and things go off. They're too fallible for me. As far as like a REM pod going off, you can, if you have a walkie talkie, all you have to do is hit it. You don't even have to talk to walkie talkie. You can just hit the mic key and it'll make the REM pod go off.
Okay.
So as far as that goes, if you're close to a highway, you could have a trucker who's on his CB radio that will make it go off and you don't know that, you know, so. Those things, like EMF meters, they were brought into the field to rule out EMF. They weren't brought into the field to ever detect spirits or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Because high EMF fields can cause you to hallucinate, auditory and visual hallucination. And they've actually done scientific tests with that, with the God Helen experiments and things that you can look up. But yeah, it was more to, you know, rule out, like I said, high EMF than it was to ever detect spirits. So yeah, I tend to be a low tech type guy. Because, like I said, I want the hard evidence that is harder to, you know, disprove, like pictures, video, audio, things like that.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, the few times we've gone, I mean, we don't have, like I said, we are the amateur of the amateurs, right? I
would Scooby say. Doo meets Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's what Sean. Yeah, we don't have any equipment. Nate's our flashlight guy. He has all kinds of flashlights, even the type that you put on, like a headband. We pretty much have our phones and that's it. But, you know, like Nate, you know, I remember Nate, you said when we went to the, Whispers, you know, you're like, sometimes just ourselves is the best equipment, you know, just our own senses,
oh, yeah.
You know, and that's true.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, I think, I don't know if I'd even know how to use any of the equipment, you know, I think it's fascinating with all the stuff that comes out, you know, seems just like with anything, any technology, you know, like you said, I wouldn't even thought about maybe a trucker driving down the highway or the road and setting off the thing. So that makes sense. That totally makes sense. Yeah. We had Whispers Stay. We had like orbs. I'm not a big orb guy at all, but my gosh, it was right in front of us, like right there. And we have I think I had the video. But I was like, Nate, check this out. And so it wasn't like we had our phones, and then, you know, when we're done 10 hours later, we look like, oh, look at that. Like it was. Right in front of our face, these things, and it wasn't the dust or. And I'm like, this is so crazy. And then I think Nate, you got some on video.
Yeah, I still have them.
So that, you know, like I said, I'm not an orb guy at all, but that was kind of like, okay, that's interesting. But I think I'm with you. The hard evidence, the audio, video, you know,
your own personal experiences too.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. That's the way to go. I get it.
It's hard sometimes to even trust your own senses, though. You know, like you know, do I believe what I'm seeing, kind of thing, but. At some point you have to, I mean, we've said that many times on this podcast, is that, you know, we don't even know what we don't know kind of thing. But you're going into it with, like you said, I think it's a, I feel the same way. I'm fascinated by going into these places and knowing some of the histories, but you're right, going in as a blank slate, like, hey, I just want to experience and have a respect, deep respect for the place. I think that's the coolest way to go in, you know, not with, with no expectations, and what you get is what you get, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we had a crazy experience happen at Thomas House. You ever heard of Thomas House in Redbone Springs, Tennessee?
I don't think so.
It's, it's been on a bunch of the TV shows, and I think most recently it was on Katrina and Jack Osborne's show, Court of the Hill. I think it was the most recent show that was there a couple of years ago. But it's an awesome place. It's in Redbone Springs, Tennessee, and it was a resort for healing mineral springs. Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, people thought they could come there and get healed by the mineral waters. And so lots of people have died there. There's lots of stories about the place. But we were doing an Estes method on a public investigation. And so it was one of the people that had bought a ticket. They had the headphones on, the blindfold, and listening to the spirit box. Well, he said something about stone and writing under a tree. And that just kind of came out of nowhere. It really didn't fit what we were asking. You know, it wasn't really answered the questions or anything. So the next day, we went and asked the owner. And the owner's like, how did you know about that? Because we've been up there plenty of times. We know a lot of the history and stories. And we're like, well, we got this on, you know, in Spirit Box session. And he took us outside. And he's like, when we first moved in here, there was a big stone that people had carved their names in under this tree. But now it's covered by, like, dirt in the driveway. And, there's no way that we could have ever found out the history. He asked us, he's like, I haven't heard about that. I haven't thought about that in probably 20 years because, you know, it just naturally got covered, by dirt and grass and things. And we tried to find the stone, but we couldn't find it. But yeah, him and his brother that owned the place were kind of blown away that we got that from the spirit. That was pretty interesting.
I'd call that validation.
Yeah, I would.
For sure.
Yeah. I'd go with that. I mean, that's wild. Yeah, especially when he said he hasn't really heard about that in 20-some years. That's crazy.
They've owned the place for 30 years, and they were kids when they moved in, and they remembered it being there then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was blown away because he's like, we don't tell anybody about that. I haven't even thought about it.
Gosh, that's wild. Yeah, I'd say you've had a lot of experiences. That's you've got a lot of stories. I had in my notes to ask for personal stories or investigative stories, and, man, sounds like you've got a lot of them. Well, you said you've been doing this for, what, 20, 25 years, so...
We haven't even gotten into me working in the medical field for 20 years and things I've experienced in the medical field.
I want to hear that.
Oh, Sean. Yeah. Sean's a therapist, physical therapist. So,
occupational, but that's all right.
Sorry. I know, right. You're not, I know you're no T, not a PT.
So I knew he just wanted to get a rise out of me.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot. Share us whatever you got on those, stories.
Yeah. So I started off in medical field when I was 18 as a nurse tech working at a nursing home. And I ended up becoming a medic on the ambulance in the ER for 15 years. But I started out in the nursing home, and I worked in this nursing home that the wing I worked on was the Alzheimer's lockdown unit. So you got to have a code to come in and go out, you know, so the Alzheimer's patients don't wander off and things. And this part of the building has always been a nursing home. It was built in like the 1940s, this wing of the building. And there's a more modern building. It's kind of it's a huge place now, but it had always been a nursing home, so there's no telling, you know, how many people passed away there over the years. And I worked night shift, Monday through Friday. And it was me, and I had a partner who was another nurse tech, and then we had a nurse, and we're the only three employees on the floor at night. And one night, we experienced all kinds of stuff. You would hear somebody walking down the hallway, and we would think a patient was out of bed. And, you know, we're concerned about them falling and things like that. So we would go check, and there would be nobody there. I walked into one of the patient rooms, and we would push their wheelchairs like in front of the bathroom at night to kind of get them out of the way. And there was a night light in every one of the bathrooms, kind of like you see in the hospitals nowadays. It kind of shines through the wall. And one night I walked in, and it looked like somebody was sitting in the wheelchair. I mean, it was a perfect out silhouette of a person. And I put the light on. There's nobody in the wheelchair. But probably the craziest thing that happened to me, and I call this the only thing I know to call is the angel of death. But I was on the floor by myself. The nurse and the other tech had gone to lunch about 3:30 in the morning, and all the lights are out except for at the nursing station. So all the hallways are dark, and it was kind of like a L-shaped there was a few rooms in front of the nurse's station, and then it turned to the left and went down this big long hallway that had about 20 patient rooms, about 10 on each side. And kind of horror movie vibes, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
Just the one light on at the nurse's station. And I got up out of the nurse's station to go walk and just poke my head in the rooms to check on the patient. And when I went to turn the corner to the left, I saw a man standing at the end of the hallway. And there were double doors with glass in them. And the parking lot light kind of shined through the doors. And I saw this tall, younger guy in a black suit just standing there. And I'm like, you know, it's like 3 a.m. Shouldn't be anybody in here. And he's not one of the patients, obviously. And he turned to the left, to his left, and walked in the patient room at the end of the hallway. And so I'm like, what is going on? So I walked down there because I thought it was a real person, like somebody's been broken in or, you know, something like that. And I need to go check and make sure it wasn't a patient on the bed. And I go down that room and I turn the light on, and it's just the 4 women in the room that were the patients. And nobody's out of bed. There's nobody in there.
Man.
So I go home the next morning at 7 a.m. and I come back the next night, and they told me that about 45 minutes after I left, one of the ladies in that room passed away.
Oh, man. That's wild.
And so, you know, that's, I call that guy the angel of death.
Wow. Mr. Reaper.
He wasn't creepy. He, you know, nothing. I thought it was a real person. And for him to have just disappeared, it freaked me out for sure. And when I, you know, talked to the nurse and the other tech about it, they were just like, oh yeah, you know, stuff happens around here. Kind of just, you know, blew it off. Wow. But that was a crazy experience. We also had a patient, and I don't know if this is the same guy that this patient saw, but whenever somebody would, about 24 hours before a patient would be going to die on the hallway, yeah, this one lady, she was nonverbal, pretty much nonverbal Alzheimer's. You really couldn't have a conversation with her or anything. But she would start yelling about the man in the corner. And everybody just kind of knew if she started yelling about the man in the corner, somebody's going to die.
Oh, boy.
So that was interesting. And like I said, I don't know if it was, that was the same guy that I saw, you know, as the man in the corner or what, but she was definitely afraid of him and would freak out.
Hmm. There was a hospital that Nate's wife still works at, and my wife used to work at a university downtown in Indiana and in Indianapolis. And there's a little girl would show up with a red balloon.
Mm-hmm. And you saw the girl with the red balloon.
The patients would say, hey, what's that little girl with the red balloon doing? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, Mr. Johnson's going to die tonight.
Yeah.
Or they'd either pass away or they would decline rapidly. Mm-hmm. And this little, like, oh, whoever this little girl is, she was kind of the harbinger of death. So, like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't Pennywise, he has a red balloon, maybe?
No. He does, yeah.
Right. He wasn't a clown.
We all float down here.
Yeah, those are crazy. Yeah, you said the guy had a dark suit on? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he was probably, I don't know, I'm 6 foot tall, and he was way taller than me, so probably 6'5", 6'6".
Oh, gosh.
And he had a solid black suit on and looked younger, kind of a thin guy, kind of younger.
Man. What's the guy, okay, horror movie time, I'm drawing a blank. I saw when I was a kid, I think they made 2 or 3 of them. This character is an older guy. He's the old man.
Phantasm.
Phantasm. Thank you. Yes.
I had it stuck in my head too.
Yeah. That's what kind of gave me the vibe. But then you say he was younger looking, but like, ew. And because he's tall, I think he's a tall guy in that movie. That's creepy though. That to me, that's creepy. Like, but that's why they thought, yeah, who in the heck's this guy at 3 a.m.? He shouldn't be here. That's wild.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and like he probably wasn't used to people seeing him. Like if he was the man in the corner, like he talked about, you know.
Yeah, right.
Probably not used to just living normal people seeing him.
Well, and then you said he walked in the room. There, what'd you say? Like 3 or 4 women.
Yeah, right. it's what you call a ward room. So there's 2 patients on each side of the room. Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, and then they said the next day, so and so died. They didn't see him, right? They didn't say, oh yeah, by the way, other than just the patient died, but not, oh yeah, we saw this. Whoever.
No,
okay,
no,
yeah.
Yeah, and nobody else saw him. Nobody else reported anything. Just one of those ladies was, I guess, just passed away in her sleep. I mean, she was fine before I left, but.
Wow.
Yeah, they kind of went in there, day shift went in there about 45 minutes after I left, and she had passed away.
Wonder what the, I wonder what if he would have been able to get on camera, like if the camera had been,
oh, that'd be creepy.
You know, wouldn't that be something that showed up? Like, what in the heck?
Yeah, that would definitely be some horror movie stuff.
Yeah. You know how, like, yeah, you're right. In the horror movies, it seems like, you know, here's this big hospital or whatever, and there's only, like, you know, two staff members, you know, one little light on, nobody's there. It's like Halloween 2. You're like, what?
Just where's everybody? Trouble, right?
Yeah. You're like, where's everybody? Yeah. This should be, yeah. Should have all kinds of people in this. It's, that's funny.
Yeah. We used to hear there was a physical therapy, and a big dining room was in between us and the rest of the nursing home. And we would hear double doors open and closing, like those big metal ones, you know, you can hear them open and close. And like I said, you had to put in a code in to get in where we're at because it was a lockdown unit. And we'd be waiting on, like, you know, another staff member to come down for whatever reason. And nobody had ever come through our doors. And there's no reason for anybody to be in the cafeteria or the, you know, physical therapy at 2, 3 in the morning. So we'd hear footsteps out there, people talking, all kinds of crazy stuff happened that nursing home while we were there.
Man.
Hungry ghosts or health conscious ghosts.
Yeah, right.
Got to get my exercise in.
Wow. That's wild. Yeah. To switch gears a little bit, staying on the paranormal and craziness, but what are your thoughts on cryptids, aliens, UFOs, things that are not your typical ghosts and spirits? Like, so let's get into the cryptids first. Nate's a big Bigfoot guy, as I'm trying to say. What do you think about all of that? Like the different cryptids out there.
I believe in Bigfoot. It's probably the one that I really do believe in as being just an undiscovered ape species. I think when you get into what they call the woo of it, where he, you know, Bigfoot's able to disappear and cloak and things like that. I think maybe there's a few explanations for that. One being possible time slips, which I've went down a rabbit hole not so long ago on time slips, but, I think sometimes maybe you're seeing, you know, when Bigfoot just suddenly disappears, it's not because Bigfoot's supernatural. It's because maybe there's a time slip when we're seeing a creature, you know, that lived, you know, thousands of years ago. And so, and people are like, well, why do you think that? Well, if you see a bear out in the wild, you don't go poke it to make sure it's real, do you? You just go the other way. But we could be seeing time slips of bears and deer and things like that, you know? So, but yeah, I think Bigfoot's a flesh and blood creature. Some of the other cryptids, I think maybe, I don't know, some sort of interdimensional stuff. I don't know. You kind of get in the weeds a little bit with esoteric, going down those rabbit holes. But yeah, the cryptid thing is definitely interesting. I have guests on that we've talked about, you know, dogmen and things like that I find fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I like the time slip idea. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to that as well, and dimensional portals and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we really don't know. Like, we're just now trying to figure out how science works, you know, and I don't think we have a good handle on that.
We'll never know really how.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair.
Or all of it. Yeah. I, you know, when I heard the time slip thing a while back, I was kind of like, what? That doesn't make sense. Now, the more I hear about it, that actually, I believe that more, you know, as far as the possibility of why he gets away or whatever, you know, how he comes and goes. Yeah. So, yeah, I totally buy that. Totally buy that. I know, Nate, you're, like I said, he's a Bigfoot guy. So I thought I wanted to see what your opinion was on him.
I don't know. He might be out there somewhere.
I think from doing the paranormal for so long, like of course, my forte is kind of ghosts and hauntings and things, but just kind of looking at it as a whole, in some way, it's all connected. I mean, even like UFOs and UAPs and the things going on there, I think is all connected with Bigfoot and cryptids. Yeah, some way, shape, or form, it's just all connected, whether it be interdimensional or, you know, like we're saying, time slips or, you know, things like that. I think it's all connected in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
We're watching the alien bubble start. Every day there's like more and more, you know, oh, the government has a little more information. They have which makes me a little nervous, honestly, when the government's like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's this stuff we didn't tell you for 60, 70, 80 years. But that always makes me think, look at this over here, not over here, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting that it's mainstream more now, and that it's like there is some bubble that needs to burst. Like, I've heard a disclosure for 20 years or more now that it's like, it needs to happen. Well, dang it, right, it needs to happen. But let's just get it over with. Like, it's just the slow boil that, you know, there's something going on out there. Tell us what's happening.
Rip the Band-Aid off instead of just peeling it really slow. Yeah. I don't
know. Just hope it's not Independence Day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hopefully it's not that.
Welcome to Earth. Right?
Yeah. Some big spaceship. Yeah, five-foot ball. Yeah.
I think places like Skinwalker Ranch and some of the other weird places, like you got the Alaska Triangle, the Bridgewater Triangle, Bermuda Triangle, and other places around the world. I mean, there's even a Nevada triangle where just, you know, weird things happen, whether that's because of ley lines is going to bind to that or what. But places like Skinwalker Ranch, I think that studying places like that is our key to understanding, I think, a lot of this. Just because in those places, so much of the phenomena happens, you know, on a regular basis. You know, if you watch the show Skinwalker Ranch, Seekers, Skinwalker Ranch, I mean, they're doing, you know, repeatable scientific things with that. And so I think those places are the key to us figuring out a lot of things about paranormal, especially with the UAPs and things like that nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. We did our 100th episode, gosh, I don't know, a couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
whatever it been. Yeah, on Skinwalker Ranch. And that is a place that I have never seen the series. My I work at a church, and one of our secretaries loves this show. I mean, she's seen every episode, and they actually were coming here. Let's see, May 18th. It was on a Thursday, and they all of a sudden they went downtown. Her and her husband, it was downtown Indy, and he saw just somehow came across it. They canceled it and didn't even tell people. She was so disappointed. So I guess they're coming back in November, and of course your ticket's valid. But I was so looking to hear her stories from, you know, her going to their show. But yeah, I guess the guys are coming here, and now they put it off. But yeah, I think you're right, though. I think that place kind of is a good start to kind of maybe figure out some of the stuff. Who knows? Because like you said, it probably all related. You know,
we called it Paranormal Ground Zero.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you get everything. You got the aliens, the UFOs, the dogmen, and I think Bigfoot's been out there, and all kinds of other stuff. You know, all kinds of crazy weird things.
Eric, do you have
I find it fascinating, too, that you know, these cryptids and things you've never heard of keep popping up, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, with dogmen, you never really heard of the dogmen phenomenon until, was it Linda Godfrey?
Yeah,
right.
With the Beast of Bray Road stuff. And now dogmen's everywhere.
Yep.
So is that makes me also think of, like, going down the rabbit hole of thought forms and tulpas. You know, are mm-hmm. these things becoming real because our consciousness is bringing them to life or what, you know?
That's what
it's
I was going to
say.
It's
kind of weird that, yeah, you've never heard of anybody having dogman sightings until Linda Godfrey brought that stuff with the Beast of Bray Road out. And then now you've got like this weird lumberjack phenomenon where people see these lumberjacks in the woods and things, and they're not there. And I don't know. They tend to be helpful, but then they disappear.
I've never heard that.
This weird phenomenon that's coming out now.
Wow.
I've never heard of that one. Lumberjack. He's just chopping wood.
Yeah.
It's like Monty Python.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say that that's like crazy. A collective consciousness, like you said, like one person starts seeing, and I think there is, that is probably part of the cryptid thing, mm-hmm. the phenomenon. But yeah, it that is interesting. They're like, oh, I saw that too. Oh, I saw that. You know, there's a certain amount of your mind playing tricks on you or mm-hmm. seeing what you want to see. Or like you said, just an unidentified species that we just don't know about. Because we definitely don't know everything that's on this planet. We don't know everything that's in the ocean, in the skies. You know, we think we do, but we do not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like Black Eyed Kids, that phenomenon back in the 90s. Then all of a sudden, boom. Everybody, I had that type of experience, and these kids came to my door or walked up to my car, but you hadn't heard it until the mid or late 90s, and then now it's all over.
Right.
You're right. That type of thing happens.
Goat man's another one.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, somebody sees a goat man, and then
next
thing you know, two states away, they see a goat man.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Goat Man's everywhere.
Yeah,
that's Jim Brewer, though. He's he brought all that up.
Yeah, it all started on Saturday Night Live back in 95. That's funny.
Yeah, and the reason that I say that I believe Bigfoot's a flesh and blood creature because it's the one cryptid that is seen all over the world and has.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back as far as recorded history, and people have had encounters with Bigfoot type creatures. I mean, Native Americans, Indigenous people in Canada, and kind of all over the world. I mean, that's where you get, you know, Yeti, Sasquatch, and all these different names for the same mm-hmm. type of creatures.
Yep.
We have one here in Indiana.
Yeah. What's his name, Nate? Bigfoot?
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, yeah. Yeah, there's a guy. He contacted me on Facebook. I don't know how he came across. But anyway, he came across our podcast group. And I need to get back hold of him. But his group is called Sasquatchin' in Indiana. And he swears he's on the hunt for the Indiana Sasquatch, you know, like, hey, what, you know, I can't tell him that he's wrong. So, I guess we're supposed to have something, whatever it is, who knows, but here in Indiana. So, I don't know. It's crazy. I'm not a big cryptid guy, Eric, but I do like the Jersey Devil lore legend. I do like that. I'm trying to think of the other. There's only two or three I like. I mean, I don't like hate Bigfoot. I'm not going to say overplayed, but it's just a popular one. But like Jersey Devil and what's the one that's supposed to have like a lizard guy walking around? What is that? We did a, it's got the scale, like the fin. What is that, Eric? These guys are not helping me.
Nate's got an entire cryptid book over here too.
I cannot think. Yeah.
I think Lizard Man covered it.
Yeah, I'm drawn. But yeah, but he can be on land. He can be in the water. I'm drawn. We did a thing on my thing. I don't know. It's from like Argentina, Mexico.
There's lots of like regional cryptids too.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you'll have like up in the Northeast something called the Albert Witch. But the Albert Witch is just like a Bigfoot type creature. But for whatever reason, they call it the Albert Witch. You know, so, so cryptids tend to be regional as well. What's the other one? They have a big festival in this little bitty town every year. And there's quite a few of those too, that these little bitty towns will have these festivals, you know, around these cryptids that were only seen maybe once, like the Falcon Monster in Arkansas.
Yes.
Well,
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Falcon Monster, is it real or not? I don't know. But there was only one, you know, a few sightings back in the 70s, and now they have a festival every year that brings tourism to these small towns, and that's kind of their bread and butter. So that's why they keep doing the festivals, you know. So what came first, the monster of the festival, you know?
Yeah, right. Reason to party, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't care. We're just going to reason to party. Yeah. Gosh, I'm like, Chupacabra. That's the one I was trying to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Chupacabra.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't describe that very well.
Well, he's a lizard.
There's
guy.
Different ways. When there's a lizard
scale,
lizard
fins,
form of
yeah.
it, and yeah,
yeah.
There's a couple different ways to look at it.
Yeah, Chupacabra. Yeah, him and Jersey Devil. Those are my two favorites.
There's an awesome book called The United States of Cryptids, and it's by a guy. I had him on my show. His name is J.W. Oker, and he went around and did all these regional cryptids. And some of them, it was interesting talking to him because some of them, like I said, have only been seen once, but then you have, you know, these big foot type creatures have been seen all over, and you have other like lake monsters and things that are just regional. The whole cryptid thing is interesting to me and talking to people and kind of learning about that. But like I said, I'm a ghost guy.
So me too.
I'm not going out in the woods looking for cryptids because I'm not trying to die, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, typically what we've heard is Bigfoot's not small or any of those type of creatures. Yeah, I don't want to get my head cut off. Yeah,
they hang out where the grizzlies
are. I'll take a chance with a ghost or some spirit at a haunted house or sanatorium or whatever. And yeah, you can have the 7 foot, 8 foot, eight person guy monster. Yeah, to crush your skull. Yeah, not good. And then if it's not a Bigfoot, you got to deal with something out there, you know, some type of animal that'll eat you. We are winding down here. I do want to ask you, though, being a paranormal guy and all that, I assume you like horror movies? Do you like scary movies?
I do. It depends, though. I'm kind of picky. I'm not big on the newer ones that are like jump scares. Mm-hmm. I like more the kind of suspense horror. I'm a huge fan of Stephen King and a lot of his books, especially. Some of his movies are good. They do a good job with some of them. But I kind of like that type of horror.
Okay.
My favorite movie ever is the original Halloween. Just because, you know, just the suspense is what scares you. It's not even necessarily just him standing in the background, Michael Myers in the background.
Yep.
And you just notice him, you know. What was that series that was on Netflix? Was it The Haunting of Bly Manor? They put all the ghosts in there and you just have to notice them.
Yep.
Yes.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah, I like horror like that. Mm-hmm. As far as like the Conjuring movies and things like that, I don't really care for. I love Insidious. That's one of my favorite newer horror movies, that franchise.
Yep. Yeah, my wife, her and I watch. We do like The Conjuring, but we love Insidious. And then we like, my favorite movie, of course, I've said it 1,000 times on our podcast, the original Halloween. That is my absolute favorite. And I've got a Michael Myers tattoo on my left arm. Like I said, he you know, the door opens and you see him standing outside, and that's just scary enough. Like, it's not even gory. Like, the first movie, those are the best movies. I mean, it just scares the crap out of me. It's those are the best.
And I grew up with them too, so there's a nostalgia.
Sure. I just don't like the gore. But my question was I didn't know if you had any favorite movies or any favorite characters or whatever from horror movies. So cool.
Yeah, probably my other favorite is Stephen King's Silver Bullet, the original.
Oh,
one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It still creeps me out to this day. Something about the preacher, after he gets shot through the eye because he's one of the werewolves and he's walking around the eye patch. It creeps me out. And then, was it Corey Haim?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's on like the scooter and he's trying to get away from him and you're like, go faster. I mean, to this day, it still, gets me.
That, yeah, he can't walk. He's got paralyzed legs and his mm-hmm. uncle fix it up like a motorcycle, moped type thing. And I like when they're collecting cans. Yeah, because they're kind of on the search for him, and they go to the preacher's house, and he's got his back to him, and then he looks up, and then they see the eye patch, like, oh no, it's him. That's a great movie. I do. I love Silver Bullet.
I forgot about that one.
Oh, that's
a good one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, very cool. Anything else you want to say about like your podcast or your investigations, and then we'll have you plug yourself and tell our listeners how to follow you.
I don't know. we are doing a big expo at the Nashville, the Fairgrounds Nashville in October. We will have over 80 vendors and a full day of speakers. We've got Mustafa Gadalori and Brandon Alves from Ghost Hunters. They also have a new series out coming out called Haunted Discoveries here soon, which I was fortunate enough to film an episode with them. We just got a whole lineup of speakers from all different walks of life, from investigators to owners of haunted locations that you can actually go run out. And like I said, over 80 vendors, so it'll be a nice, awesome day of nothing but the paranormal.
Do you have a set date on that? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's October 21st at the Fairgrounds in Nashville.
Oh, cool. I am writing that down. I have never been to one of those,
No, I'd
like
love
a convention.
To go. Yeah.
I've never been. It'll be fun. Yeah, we're doing our first live show on Saturday the 7th, so that would work. Nice. How many is it? Just the one day, or is it like a Friday and Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday, or just a?
Yeah, we're just doing the one day. We did a smaller convention last year, and we decided to go big or go home this year. So we got 27,000 square foot expo center, and like I said, over 80 vendors and all the speakers, and we got paranormal authors, and we got cryptid guys, Bigfoot guys, a lot of, like I said, haunted location owners and things like that.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like you have a lot of people from different, backgrounds and, investigators and authors. Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I've got that written down. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. Hey, and if, like I said, if you're not busy on October 7th, come out to Danville, Indiana. It's just west of where we live, and we're doing our first live show. We've got, who we were talking about earlier, Erin Egnatz. She's a investigator from up north, northern Indiana, and then Micah Campbell. Both of them have been on our show a couple of times. Micah owns Anatolian Press Publishing, and then he's written a few books, fictional and of the scary type. So we're going to have them join us. So it's going to be a good time. Yeah.
I wanted to say, Eric, with your list of, in the last 3 years, you have had an impressive list of people you've interviewed. And mm-hmm. it is, to me, that is like, and each time I started listening to your podcast, I listened to some of your first episodes, listened to some in the middle, and then I started to listen to the Afterlife, which was really, really good. You do a good job, number one, obviously after 3 years. I look back and I'm thinking, probably be a little bit unpolished in the beginning. It really isn't. It's like you were meant to do this. So you have a great commanding voice too. So it brings you right into what you're supposed to be doing, and it's engaging. So I really like it. I'm looking forward to, I've been kind of looking through like, I got to look at that one. I got to watch that one, but it is watch that one, listen to it. But I, was really, like I said, a list of, who's who, and, I was pretty impressed actually.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. I'm glad you enjoy the show. I am having a blast with it. And like I said, I started it to talk to people, in the paranormal that I found interesting, whether it be, local paranormal teams, small paranormal teams, or authors, or, bigger people in the paranormal world. And, I've had some paracelebrities on, which are good, but it's, I like it because I get to do it on my own terms. So any you know pair of celebrities out there that I talk to, it's because I respect them and what they do.
That's cool.
And yeah, there's lots of things go on behind the scenes with paranormal celebrities and things. But yeah, probably my favorite guest ever that I was just blown away that I ever got her, especially to end my very first season, was Andrea Perrin.
That's cool.
She was the oldest daughter in the family in the original Conjuring House story.
Yeah.
And I talked to her for like 2.5 hours and she was amazing. And she's not to take anything away from any of my other guests. I have lots of other guests that I've, you know, enjoyed talking to, but she's probably my favorite. Just because she's a wonderful human being on top of, you know, all the things that she can tell you that really happened versus the movie and things like that. So yeah, she was amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've heard her on two different podcasts and she is so like, her story doesn't change. She's consistent and I respect that, you know.
Yeah.
She doesn't embellish it. And you're right. I just love how she talks. She's just very, respectful and intelligent. And, but like I said, I you know, you hear maybe somebody and then you hear them again, and you're like, they kind of embellished that one, or they didn't, that doesn't stay true to what they said earlier, but not her. She says what, you know, and I tend to believe her. I mean, she's very believable.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to tell you, I've listened to probably 9 or 10 episodes. You know, I told you the other day on my message, I said, I love your podcast. Two of the episodes, the more recent ones that stuck out to me, last week I listened to your Haunted Las Vegas Valley with Dr. Heather Lee Landon. I liked her. I thought she had some interesting stories. And then the one I heard, just listened today. Let me find it. It's where's it at? The Haunted Guest House with Danielle. Can't pronounce really.
Overhauser.
I just listened to her today. That was good. Yep.
And I have been really fortunate for my third season to talk to some amazing guests and that have awesome stories and are really good storytellers and just having a great conversation.
Yeah.
And I just want, you know, I want to have a conversation like we had tonight and kind of make my audience feel like they're a part of it. Here lately just had some amazing guests on.
Yeah, I'd say you have. Yeah, and you have a great podcast voice. I hate you for that, Eric, because I'm jealous. But but you're a good,
voice
you're
envy.
A great guy. And when you said Halloween's your favorite movie, then okay, I can move past
Gold
the
Star.
Voice thing. Yeah, no, you did. The first thing I don't even know how I came across your podcast. I'm drawn because I have so many, and then you know you talk to a lot of people. I can't remember all the time how I, you know, find the podcast. Anyway. The first time I heard your voice, I'm like, oh man, another guy that has a perfect podcast voice. There we go. No, but you do have a great show. Please tell our listeners, how they can follow you and, you know, anything you want to promote about yourself and your podcast and your investigations.
Yeah, you can follow the Unseen Paranormal Podcast anywhere you're listening right now. It is everywhere. You can Google it. It's always the top on the Google. Also, I have a YouTube channel if you prefer to listen to YouTube. I don't do video, but the episodes are up there. I have a lot of people that if I don't put YouTube videos up, the audio on YouTube, they message me like, hey, have you put out an episode? So, anywhere you find podcasts, you can listen. I just switched podcast hosting platforms. So, I lost a few of the original episodes, but I have, over 100 episodes up there and, we're going to continue with season 3 probably until the end of, June here. And then I'll take a break for a couple months and come back in September for spooky season and with more great guests. And also you can go over and follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I'm on all the social medias as well, LinkedIn. And we do quite a few events throughout the year around Middle Tennessee where we'll have tickets up through Eventbrite. And we'll have those, not Eventbrite, Eventzilla. And we'll have those links up where you can come investigate with us and hang out and have a good time.
Nice. Yeah, sometime we'll have to, you know, get with you and do an investigation or something like that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, like I said, I've only been in Nashville once, and that was, whenever I said, 15 years ago. And, a couple years ago, he went with
his... I took out my first ghost tour, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It was my wife's idea, which is funny, because she hates that stuff. She's like, we'll go on a ghost tour. I do. I told her it's just a history lesson, you know, in the dark. Spooky history lesson.
Yeah, right. No, but that'd be fun. And, man, you do. You keep doing what you're doing. You have a great podcast. You're an awesome guest. We thank you again for coming on and taking time out of your busy schedule. And, I know we'll be messaging back and forth and keeping track of you. And, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening to the show. And yeah, I love coming on and being a guest. So yeah, I thank you all so much for having me.
Oh, thanks, you're
Eric.
Welcome.
We appreciate it, man.
We'll have you on down the road again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, just let me know. Anytime, we'll make it happen.
Awesome, Eric. Well, you have a great rest of the week, evening, and great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you later, man.
Y'all too.
All right.
Okay,
see
bye.
Ya.
Bye. Bye.
There you go, creepies. That is Mr. Eric Freeman of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. He did great.
He's awesome.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Great stories.
Oh, man. A lot of stories, too.
Fantastic podcasts.
Yep.
We're always, I'm always looking for a new podcast to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. The list of his guests and people he's interviewed is, like I said during the interview, very, very good. During the chat, I should say. So I was impressed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was great. And yes, go listen to his podcast. Subscribe to it, the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. And he had a lot of, great stories, investigations. He's he knows what he's doing, so we need to go with him.
He's had a creepy
whether he wants us or not.
Creepy life, and I love it.
We'll just push ourselves onto him.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, we're sorry.
Stage 5 clingers, right? We're proud of that.
What'd you say, Nate, in between us recording? You said you'd hate to see the boots walking on the other side of the door.
Seeing the boots underneath the sill of the door.
Yeah, that'd be a little creepy.
Yeah, I don't know.
No?
Shut yourself.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the story I liked was the guy in the hospital, the suit.
Oh, yeah.
And then he walks in. And
that's wild.
One of the ladies had passed away the next day or that night. And
well, it's sort of like...
ain't what you call it, Angel of Death.
Remember the story from a guy that I was working with about his buddy was at the lake?
Yeah.
And guy in a suit?
Yeah. Yep.
Satan.
Satan.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. That's, who knows?
Hmm.
Well, and he said it was a younger looking dude, so maybe.
Yeah.
Not Al Pacino.
Just coincidence.
So who? No, speaking of which, Al Pacino, he's like 82 and he's having a baby. Did you hear about that?
Good for him.
I'm Robert not even, De Niro.
Robert De Niro's having one too. Both of them. I'm sorry to take this off the trail, but Jenna just told me that last night we were about ready to go to bed. She's like, did you hear Al Pacino, who's about to die, is having a baby? And I was like, how old is Al Pacino? I'm like, he's in his 80s. She's like, he's 82 and having a baby.
82.
And his wife is quite a bit younger and quite a bit more attractive than he is. He looks like a homeless guy half the time when I see him.
His hair is all
I love him. I love Al Pacino. I'm a huge fan. But I don't know how he's fathering children.
I don't. It might be his bank account, maybe. Well, it might have something to do with it. Yeah. It might be. Yeah.
The Godfather.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for adding that, Sean. I'm glad. Going back to our guest.
I don't know where we're going after that.
Nonsense, but yeah.
We had Eric Freeman, though. So instead of Al Pacino, we had Mr. Freeman on. So
we did.
He did a great job. It was fun talking to him, and he said he had a great time. So very good, and I know the creepies will enjoy that guest chat. So moving on from that. What do you have for us, Sean?
Before we stop or start with this next part, Boy, Eric's really going to understand. Well, listen, if he listens to this entire thing, he's going to be like, dang, these guys are tangential. Yes.
Train wreck.
This is true. This is right. You know, drive the car off the road every once in a while. Just see what happens.
We resemble that remark.
All right. So here we are.
What you got?
I've just been getting a fair amount of these middle-aged dark sides, so I'm going for this. I think Eric will like this. This is a personal favorite. I heard this during the week, is why I'm using this. And Jenna had said, we were all driving together as a family, and I love the song. And she's like, oh my God, this is the most depressing song I've ever heard. And she turned it, and I was like, are you kidding me? I love that song. So I'm like, I'm totally using it just to spite her. So there you go, Eric. You'll appreciate that. This is Gary Jules and Michael Andrews' Mad World, because don't we live in one, right? So all around me are familiar faces, worn-out places, worn-out faces, bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses. No expression. No expression. Hide my head. I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. and I feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me. No one knew me. Hello, teacher, tell me, what's my lesson? Look right through me. Look right through me. And I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. So I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like that version. Maybe not the best, but it is. It's one that you hear the most. And I really appreciate it. What is it? Depeche Mode, I think, that originally sang that song.
They used to call it Depressed Mode.
Depressed Mode. And it is. It's a very sad song, but it's fantastic.
Good. So, I liked it.
Yeah. I thought you would.
And, you have been on a dark side.
That's just my
binge.
Yeah.
Streak, whatever.
How about this? I turn 44 pretty soon. I'll start turning on the lights again.
44.
Woo. Old
You're
man.
Almost
right?
mid-40s. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I need a nap? Yes.
You got a fever?
Fever. I do.
I got a fever. The only cure. It's more cowbell. All right. Excellent. Excellent job.
Ooh. Like that. I shoot for excellence.
Dang, it's cowbell, so much closer.
you ding, spotted ding, over there.
Ding, ding. Nate, I've been wondering when you're going to bring that. Nate, we need more cowbell. Sean.
Yes.
What do you have?
I have the second part of the announcements. If you would like me to, if you partake, right?
No. Go ahead.
No.
No, Nate says no.
Oh, okay. Crickets. Follow us on all social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. You can email us at our email account, that is our email address, makopodcast@gmail.com. Catch us on our weekly Tuesday Terror videos on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and review. Leave a review if the app allows. Share the podcast with friends, family, coworkers, and anyone else you can. We sell merch of all kinds. You getting tired of their name? So go get you some, as I like to say. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us. Get your name mentioned and your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc.
Man.
I know.
Awesome.
I actually practiced that a couple times a day. Please email us. Reach out to one of us or message us on Instagram for more information.
Wow. I was expecting you to say future Oles or Oles or OLs.
You put it on there. He's going to read it.
Because I refuse to put the words. So, yeah.
Good job, everybody. Good job. You know what? Especially you two over there.
You too, Sean. That was really in a roundabout way, a decent, pretty okay.
Pretty halfway decent.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Nate.
Yes.
My man to my right. What do you have for us?
Well, just like us, pretty soon, it's going to be the unseen paranormal, and that's a wrap.
Not sure what you mean.
Well, this episode's over.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be gone.
Oh, just the episode. I thought you meant our show.
No, just the episode.
I'm depressed.
We'll be unseen.
Now look at Sean.
Well, I guess if you're listening to us, we're unseen anyhow.
That's true. We're heard, but unseen.
Should I do another one?
Go for it.
That was good. No, that was good. I was thinking, oh, no, we can't get rid of our show. We want to thank you, Creepies, obviously, for listening to episode 117 and our wonderful guest chat with Mr. Eric Freeman, the host of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.